I don't think a lot of people realize this, but this band has been around since 1978 or so in Montreal. Talk to me a little bit about how the group got its start.
Well, we started off, I was studying film and communication at McGill University in Montreal, and I met a bunch of guys in the film department, and it was the end of the 70s and dying days of disco, and new wave music was up and coming, and we decided to form a band.
Now, the 80s were pretty big for you guys. I mean, you got hits like the Safety Dance in 1982 and 87's Pop Goes the World. Now, I'm guessing, looking back, that whole decade was kind of a bit of a whirlwind for you guys, really, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was great. It was exciting times to be a musician. We went, there was brand new time for MTV. MTV, the video was very important in the success of the band. So that was just starting in those days. So it was exciting times.
I'd really like to get to the heart of the Men Without Hats sound. Now, I think a lot of people, and I'm generalizing, but a lot of people kind of lump you guys in with all the, the other 80s pop rock bands. But I don't think that's fair. I think that there's a lot more layers than that to you guys when you really take a look or a good listen in this case. Now, I hear that distinct 80s pop synth electronic driven sound with some political undertones. So I guess my question is, how important is that kind of digital analog mix to the Men Without Hats sound, and what role do politics play in your writing?
Well, we thought that Top 40 Radio was a great platform. It was one of the biggest platforms in the world to get your message across, and we wanted to do it in a fun way. Like I think it was King Crimson said that dancing is just politics with your feet. That's what we were kind of out to do. There was a political message. It was, you can dance if you want to, march to your own drummer, don't succumb to peer pressure. And another one was Pop Goes the World. If we don't start treating Mother Earth with a bit more respect, she's going to blow up. And these are themes that are still being talked about today. It's really cool. I've noticed that the kids today are still concerned about the same things. They're concerned about the environment and about human rights. So it's a good thing.
Well, and I just read an article just last night, an interview you did earlier this year, and you had a great quote in there talking about the sound of the band, that synthesizer sort of driven music, and that, I think somebody asked you if, you were worried about keeping up with, musical styles or evolving, with musical styles. And you said something along the lines of the musical styles are kind of evolving to our sound, and I thought that was an amazing, like, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's like, basically, I don't have to fit in with them, they got to fit in with me.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's helped us keep going, right? We're still on the road touring and playing shows for people, and one of the things is, every time I open the radio, I hear a lot of 80s influences in the pop music of today. There's a lot of big drum sounds, a lot of synthesizers, a lot of robot voices going on there. And so it's good, but the 80s were good for that. 80s were, it was a good time for music. There was it was melody driven. There were real songs, but it was positive, and there was a dance beat to it. So it was a good mix.
I want to talk a little bit about your latest releases, Men Without Hats again, parts 1 and 2. Now, part 1 is a 5-song EP of covers that I get the sense really shows the band's influences with tracks like, I think there was Lou Reed's Satellite of Love, Mott the Hoople's All the Young Dudes, and more. Talk to me about why these songs were on this EP.
Well, because I'm a child of the 70s. I grew up, that was where I got my most of my musical influences come from, is the 70s. And the 70s was a great era for music as well. It was a creation of a lot of musical styles, heavy metal, glam rock, disco, punk new wave started at the end of the 70s, so it was a turbulent times for music. It was great. And we just wanted to show our fans some of the influences that we had, and we were the Young Dudes, so we put the Mott the Hoople song on there, song that was written by David Bowie, and Lou Reed, things like that. I saw Lou Reed in Rome on my first honeymoon. It's just things like that. These are very personal songs for the band, songs that the band grew up on.
Now, while you say that, I also have to ask, as a big Tragically Hip fan, the inclusion of Blow It High Dough. Now, of course, a signature Hip song. Now, this one came out late 80s at a point where Men Without Hats were already well established. So why include that song?
Oh, it's just because I wanted to do a tribute to a great Canadian band and a great person, Gordon Downie. And it's my favorite Hip song. I saw them on their first tour. I went up, you know, backstage and got to meet the guys, and we hung out for a bit. And it was just one of those things. It was a good influence on me too. So it was a song I wanted to include.
Moving on to part two, which came out in March of this year. This is the first album of original Men Without Hats material in close to a decade. I was hoping you could maybe elaborate on a blurb on your website that said that, you know, the themes explored on the album reflect the band's unique take on current affairs.
We've always been sort of like we were talking about before, had a bit of a political message to our songs. And the songs that were put on this album, on the part two, are songs that were written, some of them are written in studio, some of them were written during the last 10 years that we've been on the road, some of them were written during the Pop Goes the World sessions, just songs that didn't get put on the record and so forth. So these are, it's a widespread of songs. But some of those songs, there's a song, for example, Heaven, where the lyrics, it was a song that was written almost 20 years ago, and the lyrics could be applied in, could be something that I wrote yesterday. It's a good sort of window onto where the band is and where we're going.
Now, you guys have never really been shy about touring. I mean, bringing that Men Without Hats sound to the world, especially over the last 10 years. Now, what's been the keys to the band's longevity, and how important is it to bring the band's sound and message to a whole new generation of fans?
Well, that's one thing that's great, is that our songs have been gone cross-generational. And when we go to do shows, we go to perform now, we see our original fans are there to see us. Sometimes they bring their kids, and sometimes they bring their grandkids even. So it's we have a great time. We're really lucky that there are shows like in the pop culture, like Glee, for example, that introduced us to a whole new generation of music lovers. And like we were talking about before, the music it fits in with what's going on in pop music today. The 80s sound is still pretty current in pop music today. So those are a couple of things that help us still be out there.
Now, it looks like so far in 2023, you've got a handful of Eastern Canadian dates, but I assume that a lot more dates are going to be added to that.
Yeah, we're going to be going across the country in May, so we'll be... We'll be seeing you guys at the beginning of the summer.
Any more writing and or studio time on the horizon, or are you just going to ride out the latest album and go from there?
Oh, no, we had so much fun making the last record that we actually recorded a lot more stuff than we needed for even two records. So we have part three is almost all in the can already. We've been writing a lot. There's some stuff going to be coming out before the end of the year probably.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Ivan, I tell you what, I have really appreciated you taking the time to talk with me here.
Yep, for sure.